Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
For those that are less fortunate than us, Father, we pray for those victims, Father, in Kentucky and Tennessee that have been devastated, Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all those that, oh Lord, all those that are helping out. And Father, we pray as a church, Father, that you will use each one of us in a way that only you can, Father. Lord Jesus, during this season, it's a beautiful season. It's a great time of year, Father. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But Father, without the birth, there could never have been a death. There could have never been a resurrection. There could have never been, the eternal life that we have because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for that so much, and we love you. And Father, we know that many are hurting, and many are sick, and many cannot be here, Father, that would like to. And Father, our attention is turned toward those, Father, that has lost family members, and we lift them up to you and pray for them today, Lord. We pray for comfort and peace for them. And then, Father, we want to pray for Mike Penny, Lord. We pray for this surgery tomorrow, Father. We pray for your hands to be all over it. Father, we pray that you go before the surgeons, Father, and Lord, that you will lead their hands, Father, and you will guide them. We pray for them to be seeking your face even today, Father, and that you would use them in a mighty way. And Father, now, Lord, as we have come to worship and to praise you, Father, Lord Jesus, we want to uplift Brother Cal to you, Father. We pray that you will use him in a mighty way today, Father. Speak to our hearts, because each one of us has a need, and each one of us need to hear from you. So, Father, we pray that you will speak to us, Father. Lord, that we will seek your face and that you will be glorified. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Oh, we'll try that again. Good morning. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I never know what kind of crowd we're going to have on the Sunday after Christmas, but guess what? You're here. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're here."
You're here.
All right. I think it was Larry Vaden sent me a picture of the Christmas Eve service. We weren't with y'all. We were with our family down in Waynesboro that night, and it had a great crowd. And the thought passed through my heart, maybe I just need to stay away more often, and we'll have a great crowd. But anyways, I'm glad you're here this morning. And before we wrap up the book of Ruth this morning, I just wanted to give God praise. You all, you know, Operation Christmas Child, we packed several hundred boxes. The Christmas auction took up, I think, close to $6,000 to help needy families. And then the tornado victims and all that, you all gave to that. Well, last Sunday, our international missionary offering, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering here, down here at this campus, was $17,200. And our Kenwood campus, who's coming back to life, gave $2,223 to Lottie Moon. And so that puts us ballpark at $19,500. That's wonderful. Some of y'all had too much Christmas turkey or ham, and you didn't even respond to that. That's great, great news. Every dime of that's going to go to our international missionaries. Not going to some pencil pusher or administrator. It's going to our international missionaries so that they can do ministry. And that's a wonderful gift from Second Mile Church. Praise God for your gifts and your giving. Now, we're going to wrap up Ruth. The Lord, if the Lord, maybe Jesus could, what weren't the songs and the music today uplifting? When you start thinking about the death and the burial and the resurrection and the second coming, if that doesn't float your boat, you're sinking. My. Thank you, Brother Andrew. And we are praying for your daddy tomorrow. And so we're in Ruth chapter 4. And let's all rise as we read the Word of God together. This is the last part of Ruth. I hope you've enjoyed the Christmas story in the book of Ruth. Hadn't it been great? verse 18. Now, this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon. And Nashon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David. Now, I'm in a real dilemma about who to ask to pray and ask the Lord to just bless His Word. But we've got Jeff Tilden here, who's a chaplain in the Army, who's very instrumental in helping us to get care packages overseas. And I think he married into the Poe family. And then I've got my buddy Philip Robinson, who's a minister down in Jackson. And he and his wife Christy and family are with Phyllis today. And so we've got a lot. And then there's another family back here visiting. And we've just got all kinds of visitors today. But I love you all. Philip, ask God to just bless the Word, would you, this morning?
Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this day to come and spend together worshiping you, Lord, your birth, your death, your resurrection, and the life that that brings to us, and the hope that it gives us to pass on to this world. We pray right now that you would bless the Word.
Yes, Father. Amen. Please be seated. You know, genealogy, you know, I know as we were reading those names and the genealogy list, what in the world are we doing this for? How many times have you been reading through? Didn't Billy Walker do a great job with the genealogy list last week? So I kind of wanted to piggyback on that today. But, you know, family tree, ancestry study and genealogy, that's real popular today. My dad, before he passed away, did some genealogy studying our family tree, the Hampton family tree, and he found out some amazing things. He went all the way back to the early 1500s to our ancestors over there in Europe. But one of the big things that he found out was we're related to a very famous Revolutionary War hero who was a general there in the Revolutionary War. We've also found out we were kin to one of the early governors of the great state of South Carolina. And he was also a famous general in the Civil War. We have some, Dad found out, we had some professional people in our family tree. We had some doctors and lawyers, had some preachers. And of course, we also found out we had one or two bootleggers in the family. And we had a woman in our family tree who gambled away her fortune out in Las Vegas. And so every family, by the way, has some skeletons in the family tree. You got where I'm coming from? And so as we come to this genealogy list here in Ruth, these names seem kind of dry and lifeless. For those of you that are reading through your Bible this year, you'll hit several of these types of lists as you read through your Bible. But I mean, things begin to kind of really get interesting when you compare this list, as Billy showed us last week, to Matthew chapter 1. So let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Very similar list to Ruth's genealogy list. Matthew chapter 1. And while you're doing that, let me just say that everybody that's ever been born has been born into one of two families. The Bible says that everyone born in Adam, in other words, everyone that has been born after Adam, was born into Adam's family. And of course, you all know that in Adam, what happens? Death. In Adam, all die. But through the new birth, the spiritual birth that takes place, you can be born into the family of God and live eternally with Jesus Christ, as we sung about this morning. If somebody's happy about that, smile. And so we see the fact in these genealogy lists that we're about to read in Matthew, the wonderful, wonderful truth that Jesus Christ was born into the human family. And it's very amazing. When you look at Luke's genealogy list, he traces everything through the line and the lineage of Mary, the physical line, and goes all the way from Jesus all the way back to Adam. Check that out sometime in Luke's gospel. And then here in Matthew's gospel, the family tree starts with Abraham and then goes all the way to Jesus. And what the writers are trying to tell us is that here's what's so interesting and so blessed. Jesus Christ was born into the human family so that we could be born into His family. And when you compare this list to the list that we just read over there in Ruth, it's pretty much identical except for three people. And I want you to get, now, girls, get your radar on. Okay, here we go. Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 2. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Now her name was not over there in Ruth. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon. And Salmon begot Boaz by... That name wasn't over there in Ruth. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the king. You see, the names of these three women stand out dramatically for us. And is there anything there that's going to warm our hearts? Absolutely. And I believe the reason that Matthew mentions these three, number one is because the Holy Spirit laid them on his heart. That's why they're there. But the second reason I believe that they're here is to show us how we can get into the family of God. How we can get into the family of God. And I want to tell you what, in every church service, in every worship service, on every church roll, there are folks who need to be born again. Who need that new birth, to be born, to get into the family of God. And, you know, maybe you've already done that. Well, great. But you need to be able to share with somebody else how they can get into the family of God. Look at your neighbor and just lie to him. Say, I can't wait to hear this message. All right. Here's the first. We're going to look at these three names, and they tell us a story. And the first name there is Tamar. And Tamar reminds us that we are all sinners. Tamar reminds us that we are all sinners. Now, do y'all know who Tamar was? I don't have time to go back and read the sordid details in Genesis chapter 38, but let me just give you enough information where you understand why Tamar's in this genealogy list of Matthew. Tamar, well, her father-in-law was Judah. Now, you remember all the prophecies about Jesus said that he had to come through that kingly, that royal, regal line of people. Well, that's Judah. And so Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah. Well, Judah had two sons. And if you don't, you know, you can go back and read this when you get home in Genesis 38. God killed both of his boys. I know that's not popular in this politically correct society that we live in, but God killed both of them. And the firstborn son, his name was Er. What a great name, huh? But anyways, he died because he was wicked and evil and God took his life. And so Tamar was without a husband. And in those days, girls, if you were without a husband, it was going to get tough for you because you had no family inheritance, no income, no way to make, you know, to carry on the family name. And so... naturally, the youngest son He was supposed to step up to the plate and marry Tamar, but he didn't do that either. Well, God took his life. And so Judah told his daughter-in-law, if you'll just hang in here with us, I've got a third son who's very young, and you can marry him when he gets old enough. And so she was good with that, except Judah forgot his promise. And now when that boy grew up, she's still single, and she has no claim to the family name. She has nothing. And so she takes matters into her own hands. And you know what Tamar does? It's an amazing story. I mean, the Bible would make a great movie. She goes and dresses up like a prostitute, okay? And gets out here on the main drag, and she's dressed up. She's kind of, you know, hidden her face, you know. And guess who comes walking by? Her father-in-law, Judah. And she entices him to get in the... And we think we've got problems. Well, it gets even worse. She winds up pregnant with her father-in-law's baby. I'm not lying to y'all. This really happened. And so it all came clear when she started showing, and Judah's fixing to stone her to death because that's what the law said an adulteress needed. And then she started pulling out some things and it showed him, uh-oh, you the daddy. And so she winds up marrying his youngest son. I want to tell you, it's an amazing thing. But you know, what Tamar reminds us of, and the reason she's in this genealogy list, is that we're all sinners. Oh, Brother Cal, I've never dressed up like a prostitute. I've never committed adultery or fornication or any of that stuff, sexual sin. I'm good to go. Guess what? You've broken at least one of God's laws. And when you break the law, what are you? You're a lawbreaker. And lawbreakers deserve to be punished. And guess what? We're all in the same boat. Kids have so much faith. One of my, and I'm sure these brothers could testify to this, but one of the hardest things I have to do is counsel with a young 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old boy or girl and try to figure out, do they understand what sin is? Because if you don't understand your need, if you don't understand that you're a sinner, you don't know why you need Jesus, right? Because repentance has to, now kids have great faith. They can believe and trust in anything and anyone. They've got great faith. But where the issue is with repentance, they need to understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what Tamar reminds us of. And I may have told you all this before. When you get older, you start telling the same things over and over again to the same people. But I was talking 2 years ago. I baptized my grandson, and so we went down to Waynesboro, and he gave a great profession of faith, and just really did a good job with that. And so I had peace about it. So we baptized him, and we got home that afternoon after dinner, and my oldest granddaughter. For those of you who've met Avery, know what a sweetheart she is. She is a great little girl. Now, I'm not going to go on about my grandchildren, but she started asking me some questions, and so I just immediately started sharing the gospel with her, and I said, honey, do you know what sin is? Because she believes that Jesus died. When she prays today, she'll pray, and thank you for dying for our sins on the cross, you know. But I said, honey, do you know what sin is? And she said, oh, yeah, that's when you do something wrong. I said, well, what is it when we do something? And she said, lying, cheating, stealing, being disobedient to your mom and dad. She named off a litany of sins. And I said, so that's sin when you do things wrong and you sin against God with that? And she said, yeah, Granddaddy. And I said, well, honey, do you know you're a sinner? And she said, oh, no. She's not ready to be saved until she understands that she's a sinner. And my brother, my sister, everyone ever born is in that same boat. We're all sinners in need of God. And that's what Tamar reminds us of. You got that? Here's the second move here. he mentions Rahab. Now, Rahab reminds us that we must all believe. We must all believe. Now, this is over in Joshua chapter 2. And the Israelite army was about to cross the Jordan River, and they were going to possess Canaan land, and they're going to be attacking and taking these cities and possessing the land that God had already given them. And so the first city that they're coming to in Canaan land is the great city of Jericho. And that's where Rahab lived. Okay? Now, Rahab didn't dress up like a prostitute. She was a prostitute. Y'all with me? And her, the reason she's mentioned here is she reminds us that we have to believe. Well, anyways, to make a long story short, two Israeli spies were sent to Jericho to best see how they could attack the city and take it for God's glory. But the king of Jericho got wind that these two Israeli spies were in town, and so they started looking for them. Well, guess who hid the two spies? Rahab, up on her roof. Great story. And at great personal danger to her life and her family, she hid those spies. And the reason was she had heard about the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She had heard about the miraculous deliverance of the people of God from Egypt and how they'd crossed the Red Sea. And her heart was fearful, and she knew that what was about to take place, and she committed her life. She believed. How do I know that? Because she hid those spies on her roof, and when they left, now her house was right there on the wall, the outside wall, and she let them down out of a window, and the two spies told her, "We're coming back with the army." Now, if you want your life to be spared, and you and your family, you need to hang a scarlet thread out the window, and we'll see that scarlet thread and be reminded that you helped spare our lives. And sure enough, when the Israeli army came plundering through, they saw that scarlet thread. And everybody under the scarlet thread in her house was saved. She committed herself, you see. She believed in the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She committed her life. Now, what that means for us today is real simple. We admit that we're sinners in need of a Savior, but we also must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and He is the only means of our salvation. He is the only way to God. I don't care what you may hear on Facebook or what you may see on Twitter or what you may gather on social media. Jesus is the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I've gotten into an argument with family members about this. Instead of getting into an argument, I just need to pray for my family. Because there is no other way to have a relationship. God, we place our trust and our faith, our belief, all that we are into everything that He is. That's what it means to believe, and that's what Rahab reminds us of. Are y'all with me? This is so simple, and yet it's so deep. And so, Tamar reminds us of what? We're all sinners. And Rahab reminds us that we must all do what? Believe. Here's the last one. Ruth. Now, we've studied. We've been in Ruth. This is the fifth week we've been in Ruth. And we've learned the Christmas story. And you know, we hear a lot of good things. As a matter of fact, we don't hear one single negative thing about Ruth. She is a good person. The Bible says she's a virtuous woman. The Scripture tells us that she was better to her mother-in-law Naomi than seven sons. This is a good woman. This is a righteous woman. But you see, she's kind of like us. Her righteousness wasn't good enough. Her goodness wasn't good enough. And neither is yours and neither is mine. We need the righteousness of God. And that only comes in a relationship with Jesus. And so she reminds us, Ruth reminds us, that we must all receive. And, you know, we talked about Ruth. She had a defective birth. She was born in the wrong family. She was a Moabite. You remember that? And nobody down to the 10th generation of Moabites could even get into the temple to worship God. The law had excluded her. And the law excluded us. What she needed, what Ruth needed was grace. And by the way, what we need is grace. And that grace has to be received. Well, how did Ruth get into the family of God? She received that wonderful thing called grace by faith. You remember Boaz? Moon calved, head over heels, in love with Ruth. And he became her redeemer. A foreshadowing of who Jesus Christ is. And he purchased her redemption. He paid the price for her so that she could be redeemed. And this was done through marriage. And you know, we learned last week that Ruth became famous in Bethlehem. And by the way, if you'd be willing to admit your sin and turn from your sin and by faith trust Christ as your only means of salvation and receive Him as the Lord of your life, you too can be brought into the family of God. Did y'all hear that? Don't miss that. Some of you are here and you've been baptized, you've got your name on a church roll somewhere, but your life has never been changed by the power of Almighty God. And what you need to do, like we were singing about the gospel, what you need to do today is admit your sin. Just agree with God about your sin. Say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong, and I need a Savior. And by faith, you believe that Jesus is your only means of salvation. And you give everything that you are to everything that He is, and you receive Him as the Lord of your life. And when you do that, you're brought into the family of God. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. I have something to confess, okay? Over the holidays, I've got two DVDs, The Gospel Music of Elvis Presley. And I was listening to that. And there's one song on both DVDs that really turned me off. It's Frank Sinatra's song. It's called I Did It My Way. I did it my way. That speaks volumes. And there's not going to be anybody in heaven singing, I did it my way. We're going to be singing, I don't know. I was in prison, locked up in chains. Sin held me captive to sorrow and shame. Years of frustration as love passed me by until the Master heard my heart's cry. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is. That is how you get into God's family, by God's grace, through faith in Him, being willing to admit and turn from your sin. I'm so thankful that God received me. And if you'll do it His way, you too today, and you know what He'll do? He will change your life. And you won't have to wonder and guess. Everybody will know because you'll be different over time. And sometimes, you know, miraculously, God will change your life immediately because He'll give you what you need, a new heart. Let's pray together. Father, I don't know who, but I do know what. and I do know why. These three ladies were mentioned in Matthew's gospel. And there's someone here this morning that needs to admit and be reminded that they're sinners separated from God. And there's someone here this morning who has not, by faith, believed on and in Jesus Christ as the only means of being made right with Him. And there's some folks here that haven't received Him as the Lord of their life. That's Romans 10:9. Because when He becomes Lord of our lives, He's just naturally our Savior. And so God, I pray right now that in the quietness and stillness of this moment, that people all over this room might be willing to turn from their sin and believe and trust in Christ and receive Him as the Lord of their life today. And Father, for those that had done that, would You get us out of our comfort zone and share the gospel with people? 86% of Clarksville is lost. How can we not share the best news that we've ever received and ever heard with our neighbors and those that we live with? Oh God, do what only You can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have prayed to receive Christ today, we want to know about that. We want to get some materials in your hand to get you started in your new life with Christ. And if you'll come forward, I'll be here. There'll be counselors here to pray with you, whatever you need to do. And we'll get you started right on your new path, talk to you about your baptism, talk to you about, becoming a part of God's church, that kind of thing. And then there's some cards in the back, those second mile cards. There's a place on the back. If you pray to receive Christ today, you can check that box, and I'll get with you. Somebody on staff will get with you this week. But please do what. Give God the gift that He doesn't have today. Give Him you, all of your heart. Give it to Him today. And then the rest of you that are here that are saved, it'd be the greatest Christmas for your family and friends if they received Jesus. And get where you can share those three women with somebody. Let's all stand. You come forward. If you need prayer, you come.
Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this Christmas season, for the opportunity we've had to celebrate the birth of our Savior, for families to come home and be together and share Christmas. And Father, I'm reminded this morning that some of our families were not together this Christmas. We've had men and women in uniform that are serving in harm's way today, and we just pray for Your peace to be on their family, Your hand of protection to be on our servicemen and women as they serve. I pray that You would grant them success in their mission and bring them home safely to their families. Be with us now as we dismiss into our community, that we would share the love of Christ with those we come in contact with. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.